Sandy Child?
Here.
Roberta Heidman?
Requesting an excused
absence. Leslie Fox?
Here.
Charles Fredericks?
Here.
Ariana Gladney?
Here.
Jan Goodman?
Here.
Ted Grewal? Steve Kaiser?
Here.
Maggie Lapeek?
Here.
Ali Lexa?
Present.
Michael Novick?
Present.
Risa Poor?
Here.
Steve Pride?
Here.
Leslie Radford?
Here.
Dorothy Wright?
Here.
Myla Reason?
Here.
Mansoor Sabah?
I'm there.
Fernando Velasquez.
Presente.
Okay.
Is that perfect?
Okay. Roll has been taken.
All right, if there are no objections, those who requested an excused absence.
It's not on. I don't think the audio system is on.
This is not on. Anyhow, if there are no objections, all those who requested an excused absence will report them that way.
Okay, I have a couple people who are absent, but I didn't know more than they were confused.
So, could you call out the names? Maybe someone?
Yeah, that was Jonathan Alexander and Tej Grewal.
Jonathan sent an email around requesting an excused absence.
Okay. And did anyone hear from Tej?
I know she was out of town in the last day.
Turn this one up.
She may be coming.
Okay.
And,
yeah. Turn it up.
Oh, more microphones.
Wonderful. Okay, so we'll next one is business.
So that was approved for the excuse.
There were no objections, so approved. Ground rules for communication. So we are going today, we're going to have public comments, and we're going to actually have a stacking queue. People can just line up to speak. So we won't be actually keeping an actual sheet. So when we call for public comments, just make sure that you stand in line. And we'll
May I suggest that people stand in line next to the chair that's in back of Mansoor so that they're not blocking everybody there, you know, when they stand in line.
That's fine. That works. So the ground rules are, if you've spoken once, you'll have 90 seconds, I believe, to speak. And if someone wants to speak again, and there's someone who hasn't spoken, they'll go before you. So let's just keep an orderly meeting and move things along. Sorry, we're kind of out of order here.
Sharon, I volunteer to keep time.
Perfect. Thank you. So you're going to keep the segment time?
The 90 seconds.
The 90 seconds?
And
so
I keep the
segment. Okay, perfect. So Mansoor and Steve, thank you for volunteering to be the timekeepers. Next order of business is agenda approval. You know what? I'm sorry. Let me back up a bit before we do the agenda approval because I know there are going to be a lot of changes. Let me welcome everyone to this LSC meeting. We've lost a couple members of the KPFK family. Bob Conger, Israel Foyer, and Richard Porosky. So I just want to take this time to have a moment of silence in their honor. That's anyone else that we've lost along the way. I want to acknowledge our community members for coming out to support the LSC.
Sure. Point of personal privilege, I'm having a hard time hearing
you. Okay. Thank you, community members, for coming out to support the LSB.
Can you move the mic closer to your...
Can you move closer to your ear?
Is the switch on?
Is
the switch on?
Can you...
Turn it up. I need to talk.
Okay.
Just keep talking.
Okay. So, thank you, community members, for coming out to support the LSB. And before we move on, can we have each of the board members introduce themselves and please tell us what committees you serve on or what positions you hold so that we know, who's here today. So why don't we start at the end with Reza, and we'll just go all the way around.
Serving at the Outreach Committee.
Fernando Velasquez, Outreach Committee.
Charles Fredericks, serving on governance, finance, personnel, and program.
Michael Novis, I'm a listener rep to the local station board. I'm a member of the Pacific National Board from KPFK, serving here locally on the fundraising committee.
Mike, use the mic or speak louder.
Okay, sorry. Michael Ovick, listener rep on the local board and a member of the Pacifica National Board. I'm serving locally on the fundraising committee and the personnel committee. And Kim Hart from our governance and that action.
Ariana Gladney, at times when I have time, the public governance committee.
Steve Pride, I am a staff rep. I serve on the Personnel, Governance, Programming, and Inclusion.
No. Jan Goodman. I am the chair of the Personnel Committee, and I'm on the National Personnel Committee. And I'm a member of the Pacifica National Board. I'm on the Personnel Committee on the National Board also, and the Elections Committee.
Dorothy Reich, I'm on the fundraising task force. I think I'm the chair of it, and I'm on the audit, the PNB audit committee.
Sharon Brown, chair, LSB.
Grace Aaron, I'm a director on the National Board of Pacifica. I'm also on the Pacifica Governance Committee, Election Committee, and Audit Committee, and locally on the Finance Committee and the Governance Committee.
Ken Aaron, I'm a listener sponsor. I'm on the local finance committee, the program oversight committee. I'm the chair of that, and the local governance committee, and I'm also on the national governance committee.
Ali Lexa, staff rep. I'm on the personnel committee.
Fred Blair, I'm a listener delegate representative on the LSB. I'm also the treasurer of the LSB. Therefore, I serve on the National Finance Committee. I'm also on the National Elections Committee, and I'm the chair of the local KPFK Finance Committee. I'm also on the Personnel Committee.
I'm Leslie Fox, and I'm on the local board, the local governance committee, as well as the representative from the board on the PNB governance committee.
I'm Steve Kaiser. I'm a listener rep, and I'm on the fundraising committee.
Okay, and I want to acknowledge Leslie, Leslie Bradford, Station General Manager. So thank you all. And that was important. So if people have motions or want to know who to contact, hopefully everyone was paying attention, and you can direct your questions to the person that handles that particular area. So thank you. Okay, next order of business, agenda approval. Oh, I'm sorry. Ms. Aaron?
I'd like to make an amendment to the agenda to add a motion on a discussion of a motion on meeting decorum for directly after the minutes approval. And you can find it. It's in, there's so many motions here. It's in a three motions that we handed out that have blue typing on the top. It's on the second page of that. And I'd like to ask for 7 minutes for that agenda item.
Second.
Okay, motion has been made and second to move the motion for meeting decorum directly following the minutes approval and asking for 7 minutes. All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Those opposed? Abstained? Motion carried. Steve Pride?
There was a motion approved in the personnel committee that a couple of months ago that some of us looked to be cracked as far as being on the agenda was proposed. We added to the agenda. It looks like that basically we launched a programming director search committee. The motion either has a caveat that we ascertain that it is not illegal to not do that.
Do you have a motion?
I do.
You want to add to the agenda?
I do. Yeah.
Okay, what part of the personnel committee?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
he's made a motion.
And I would want at least another 5 minutes added for that motion, and then put that under the chart.
Made a motion. Motion's on the floor. Second. Okay. All those in favor to ask the personnel report? Are there any objections to adding these motions to the agenda? 5 minutes. All those in favor? No objections? So we'll add that to the agenda. And
there's a second motion also from the personnel. Well, actually, there's four motions from the personnel committee that.
Use the mic.
There's two more motions from the personnel committee that we would like to have under the personnel committee. And I have to say, I have to leave here at 11:30, so Steve Pry will present the motions when they come up.
The GM
evaluation. I think we're a little...
It's yellow.
Oh.
Put it down.
Any objections? Okay. Carrie? Okay, Charles?
Are we all in receipt of a copy of the resolution to resolve the matter of AD and Hopman v. Pacifica without litigation?
No.
Say that again, speak up.
That could be a part of that discussion.
Where is it?
It says resolution to resolve at the top.
Yeah.
I don't have it. You have a copy?
Yeah.
This is sent around by Bill Crozier, who's the chair of the community election committee.
That was
going to
be
part
of your report.
No,
yeah.
We don't have
it. Well, it can be, mm-hmm. Yes.
Are there any more copies?
Okay, we can consider that as part of that discussion.
Yeah, okay.
Charles, are there any more copies?
Any objections?
I don't think we have them around.
Here's what it looks like.
Resolution to resolve.
Yeah, we don't.
You guys,
we don't have
privilege. Let's do this. Let's go back to organization because we have to get some order to this. Me as the chair, when you walk in the morning and you guys start doing this to me, it really has become extremely difficult. So we're going to really have to get some organization so that we can effectively operate. So, Mr. Secretary, will you give me a hand here, please? Well, Mr. Secretary, can't do it, please. Would you pass these out to everyone, please? It's so critically important. It's not that we want to have you guys go to committee meetings, but it's so critically important that we work through appropriate committees to vet motions. That way, when we come to this meeting, we don't have to go through all of the vetting process of these motions. In addition, when we do our agenda, they will already be on the agenda. And we won't spend as much time here, and I don't have to deal with all of this every morning, someone handing me something, wanting to change the agenda. I don't have time to read this on the fly. You guys don't have time to read this during a meeting. So please work through the appropriate committee, send your motions, resolution, or what have you to that committee. We understand that there will be times when there's, you know, an emergent situation where you have to bring them to the floor. But let's just kind of minimize this so that we can actually be more efficient and effective. So what I'm doing is I'm passing out a copy of our resolution motion template. Well, I'll actually email each of you an electronic copy of this. So you can send your motions to the committees, either the secretary or the chair of that committee to send them on to government, and then at that point, we can actually get them on the agenda appropriately.
Sharon, should there be a minimum time in advance that should be given to you, like within 2 days, to get it on the agenda?
It has to be to governance, I believe, before. Who's on governance committee? Who, is the chair of governance here?
Roberta.
I think that they meet the Thursday before.
Yeah. But, not meet.
But this month it's...
So that'd be 3 days? No, 2 days. Or 3 days in advance.
I'm just wondering if that Monday before the Thursday prior to the LSB meeting. So if you can get her your motion that Monday or so, then they could, they'll have an opportunity to review them before their governance committee meeting that Thursday, and then they'll have time to vet them before they put together the agenda.
So all of them should come from the governance committee to you?
They should come from the governance committee, and that's how we comprise our agenda. That's where the agenda comes from. So they put together the agenda.
Point of information on that, Sharon.
Who's speaking? Oh, okay.
The governance committee was canceled due to the interference with Amy Goodman, and this was sent around by Bill Kroger and the interim, so that's something that I
well taken. So we can't understand this month having all the motions on the table because governance did not meet, but in the future, let's work through the appropriate committee. And here's the sheet, so please use this sheet. And this just makes it easier for our secretary and us to kind of track things and know who to call on. Or if we have questions, who we can call and follow up with, or who responds to that motion.
Yeah, I think that's a lovely goal, and I agree with everything you said, but is this coming from you, or is there an actual rule that we have passed? Because you're kind of disenfranchising us from making motions on our own. The committee structure, for instance, the motion that I'm going to today came from our committee 2 months ago, but it's not made to the agenda.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think we cannot lose the ability to make a motion on our own as elected representatives.
And as I said, if there is an emergency-type motion, or they need to come to the floor, we'll try to address them. But what we're trying to prevent from doing is having disobeying anything. So we can always bring motions here, please. So it's an emergency and they need to be heard, but it's just more efficient and it makes our lives a little bit easier.
I agree.
I understand your situation and we'll.
And I think this makes it even more important that we get to Ken's motion about committee structure.
Okay, we'll have that. Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you for that guidance. I completely concur that we need a structure to get our functionality to running better. However, because we didn't have the governance committee meeting, I just want to recommend, or I would request that we add, it's a motion that was distributed called the KPFK LSV Advisory Committee Staffing Policy.
Mike,
just make it as new business. To add as new business the Advisory Committee Staffing Policy, I handed it out.
That's part of the two-piece
thing. And I guess it would be the first thing in new business.
Okay. Point of information.
Any seconds?
Point of information to speak about is common. That's all business.
Oh, it's all business?
Wait a second. Charles, let's finish Ken.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The motion that Steve brought up was something that would have been covered in the last LSD meeting, but we didn't complete that part of the agenda, therefore it was carried over to this one.
It should have been carried over as old business, but unfortunately, your motion should have been carried over as old business, but unfortunately, it wasn't.
Never made the agenda.
Say it again?
The PM never made the agenda, so it's not old business.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Appreciate I believe it. We've had old business on the motion to staff committee. It's never been made before.
Okay.
But the other thing has not ever been on the agenda.
Okay, so we'll try to go with
this today. We've already made a motion.
Okay.
It doesn't just talk to him. Hey, talk to my hand.
We got it.
Okay.
See, let's not get contentious.
Okay.
So let's not get contentious. I'm on your side. Okay. Let's just do it. It's perfect.
So I'm back on. So I just, my motion, I just want to add to the agenda as the first item on new business, the LSB Advisory Committee Staffing Policy.
First, you know what? I'm going to give you a first call for being disrespectful to the chair. And we'll get to that into the core motion. That's a second.
And I'd like to second that.
Ken and Aaron.
I'm going to second Ken's motion.
And three, you're out of here.
Okay.
Jen Aaron, do you have a floor?
No, my motion was seconded.
Okay, motion second. Any objections? You're walking close one. Okay, any objections?
No.
No objections, so motion carries.
That's the first on the new business agenda.
First on new business.
I hate to do this, but I think we should switch the Jan's P&B report and her motion with the meeting decorum motion because Jan has to leave in just a few minutes. So if that's, I think if we could just reverse that, put the meeting decorum motion after the general manager report in 2 minutes.
Okay, got it. Okay.
And point of order, I think we just set a time certain at 11:15, so it's sort of moot.
Yeah, just go.
Okay.
Fine. I withdraw my motion.
Did you get all of this? I didn't.
No, it's not.
I move that we adopt the agenda as amended.
Second.
I withdrew it. We're making sure that the secretary has recorded all of this movement on the agenda so that we can conduct the meeting appropriately. So, Mr. Secretary, that was no objection?
There's an item of old business that I don't think we've discussed that you had put on the agenda. Resolution by KPFK LSP condemning exclusion of WBAI directors was old business that we did not vote on at the last meeting. That we proposed that be the first item under old business for voting on that motion. So with that amendment to the minutes, then if we're ready to approve the agenda.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I move again to accept the agenda as amended.
Second.
Any objections? Motion carries. I'm going to need your help in the order because I wasn't able to record all.
Okay.
So.
Here we go.
Minutes approval of minutes from the...
Yeah, at this point, it's pretty much... time certain to let Jan Goodman give her report. Yeah.
Please.
Okay.
So we're going to divide up the Pacifica National Board report. I'm going to cover essentially the litigation that is happening at Pacifica right now. There were two lawsuits filed, I guess, week before last. The first one was filed in New York, and I'll pass out at least the order. There was a lawsuit filed representing, two members of the WBAI station, Steve Brown and Robert Young, also known as Bob Young. And that lawsuit has to do with representation by the WBAI station board at the national level and also seating of people from the PNB, seating of people on the LSB and on the national board. And this essentially arises from the situation that last May there was a resolution by the Pacifica National Board which extended the terms of...
I'm speaking for the camera, please. Thank you. No.
We actually have a standing rule that this is a public meeting.
Yeah.
That photography.
The board meeting,
yes.
Board
yes. No, that's correct.
No, it's a standing. It's a
standing rule at the public meeting that photography, videography is allowed because it's a public meeting, and we've, in fact, I think we had a resolution regarding that just recently. I believe so. But I know that it's, because it's a public meeting, people have to expect to be photographed and recorded, and that, you know, so
okay, well,
it's okay. Anyway.
Last year there was a resolution.
And it's actually, just to speak very momentarily about that, you know, one of the finance committee, one of the finance reports at our meeting has had 200 views on YouTube, and which I think is great. I mean, it makes it transparent, so more people than can get here at the crack of dawn on Sunday morning can actually, you know, see what's going on. Anyway, back to the lawsuit. So May of 2015, the National Board extended the terms of the people whose, of the LSB members whose terms were supposed to end in 2015, and extended those terms to 2016, which was a violation of the bylaws, which set a term of 3 years for people to serve, and they couched it in terms of staggering elections. But anyway, and there's a corporations code section that says once somebody is elected as a director, their terms cannot be extended. But the LSB members everywhere except in Los Angeles had their terms, who were termed out in 2015, had their terms extended to 2016. And this created a mess in WBAI as to who was supposed to take the place of a woman, Janet Coleman, who termed out. And what has happened is that WBAI has not been able to have, they had one meeting that had a quorum, and at that meeting they elected people to the National Board, but then the National Board didn't recognize that meeting and didn't recognize those people, and then the other, basically it's a faction, it became a faction situation, because then the people who didn't go to the first meeting wanted to have a meeting of their own, but they didn't have a quorum. And this has created a situation where Pacifica has not had any representation from WBAI since January. And there's a resolution about that later on in the agenda about saying that WBAI should have this representation. At any rate, many motions were made, none of those were fruitful, and so finally this lawsuit was filed to enforce the bylaws in New York with regard to the New York situation. And nationally, what this resolution did of extending people's terms is that on the national board, there are, I think, 6 or 7 people whose terms were up in 2015 who are still on the national board. And again, many motions were made regarding having those termed out people move on and having the bylaws take effect, which means that the runners up to those seats would then be seated. And so a lawsuit was filed with regard to the national directors, and that lawsuit, there was a hearing last Tuesday or Wednesday, the hearing was just to allow service by registered or certified mail on the directors throughout the country. The statute requires that the directors whose terms are being challenged to be served personally to be defendants, and so that's why they have all been served nationally and were made individual defendants. And that lawsuit is simply based on the bylaws of Pacifica, which sets the terms as 3 years and says that members have to vote to extend the terms if they're going to
be extended longer than 3 years, and of course that didn't happen. And the corporation's code, which says that once a director is seated, their term cannot be extended. So that lawsuit is pending, and there's going to be a hearing on that on April 27th. And I have, oh, very important. In the New York lawsuit, there was a temporary restraining order passed which said that Pacifica was not pending hearing a determination to stay any upcoming Pacifica board meetings. And that temporary restraining order is being ignored on a national level, so the PNB is continuing to meet, and they're probably in contempt of, I mean, they're in contempt of court if anybody brings it to the New York court. So I made 5 copies of that, and I'll just pass them around. I have one for the audience also. And there's a copy of the complaint in the Los Angeles, in the California lawsuit that's going around. So if anybody's interested in seeing it, it's there. Any questions?
So is there going to be any resolution?
Mike, wait, please. So what's the prognosis here?
Well, the very good thing about lawsuits is, as opposed to being a meeting where everybody gets to say what they want and then they go and do whatever they're going to do, when a court gives an order, everybody says, okay, we'll do it, thank you very much, judge. And hopefully April 26th, the judge will, you know, will rule whether or not the national directors have been termed out or not termed out, and will rule to either replace them or not replace them. Hopefully. Who knows what will happen? You never can tell what a judge is going to do. But and there's also been a request that a master or a receiver be put in place to see that the judge's orders are carried out, so they can't be just ignored.
Mike, please. Mike. I would like to know
what was the violation that they come up with, you know, motion to restraining order. What was the violation?
Oh, the violation.
Point of order.
Okay.
Point of order, that was... we can put that in writing to you, but it just took 10 minutes for her to detail what happened.
The violation was the term that people whose terms were ended in 2015 continued in their seat past 2015 when their term was over. So that's the violation. It's a corporations code violation, and it's a bylaw violation. Any other questions?
Point of information, the reason for the continuance of those terms was because the elections were not met and the quorum was not met in those elections?
No, the reason, it's a very convoluted resolution, and it's even hard to figure out what the resolution, which was made on May 7th, but the theory was that having staggered terms was more important than ending the terms when they were set to be ended. And so there is, you could say that there's an argument for doing it the way they did, except that the Corporations Code doesn't allow that. And in addition, the staggered terms part of the bylaws can be changed just by the board or the LSB, but the extension of the terms of elected directors or delegates takes a vote of the entire membership, and thus it takes precedent over the staggered terms issues.
Thank you. You just said they could have had an explanation, some kind of reasoning of why they made the decision that they made. What would that reason be?
I think I just explained that.
No.
No, I heard it.
Okay. The reason is, well, first of all, let me just say this. The temporary restraining order in New York, and let me just pass these around. This, you know, you really have to share it. It doesn't feel like it makes sense to, you know, just like take one per table or something and pass it on. And the important part is on the back, number C, which says that's the temporary restraining order. And the temporary restraining order was to keep the status quo as it is for the Pacific and National Board not to meet until the court decided. Now, the court was supposed to have a meeting. The court was supposed to have a hearing before the National Board met. Are you asking about the temporary restraining order or the lawsuit in general?
You are saying that there was a violation of the bylaws, yes, by extending terms to people who spent or had already expired.
Correct.
And what was the reasoning to do that, and how that constitutes a violation of the bylaws?
Okay, so the reasoning that the PNB had was they thought it was more important to stagger the term so that the whole, like in Los Angeles, according to their theory, they threw us under the bus and they didn't have staggered elections. They let everybody get elected at the same time. They had some people elected for 1 year and they had some people elected for 3 years, which they could have done nationally. But instead of that, they said it was more important to have staggered terms so that, you know, it would be harder to take over the corporation if somebody wanted to take over the corporation by having an election all at one time. So instead of having, they said it was more important to stagger the terms than to have terms end when they were supposed to. So that was the reason given by the National Board to stagger the terms.
Jan, do we have duly elected representatives in New York wanting to take those seats?
He was next.
No, I've been here for a while, Mike. Excuse me. Did the election go off according to plan? Are there duly elected representatives to take those seats?
There are duly elected people because there were, but, you know, yes, in the people in New York believe it, I believe it, but there's an argument that instead of having the
instead of recognizing the election to keep those people in place for the sake of having a staggered relationship of retiring board members?
Yes, and it gets really complicated,
right,
with regard to New York, and I'm more than happy to talk about it, but, you know, we could spend this whole meeting getting into the details of it, so I just think that it's not fair to the rest of the agenda to do that. I mean, we had a time certain, but they didn't. You know, we have to not get into all of the weeds on that.
Okay, Michael Kane Grace.
Yeah, I'll try to phrase in terms of the question. Two questions. The first one is, isn't it true the origin of this problem is when the previous majority on the summaries on the National Board voted to postpone the scheduled 2013 elections, which is the ones who were finally held? Under which, for example, a member of this board, Ken Kaufman, was continued as a local board member and then elected to the National Board. Second thing, isn't it also true that these two lawsuits you refer to are self-contradictory? Because if you're trying to invalidate the extension of Janet Coleman's seat, you can't simultaneously say that she should be replaced by somebody else for a seat that you don't think should have been extended.
These two different lawsuits were filed entirely independently. So, you know, whether they, I won't give up. In my opinion, I don't think so. But, you know, they had a lawyer back there. They filed whatever they filed. And, yes, I mean, this is a long-standing problem. There was a bylaw violation in 2013 when they didn't have an election. There was another bylaw violation, a continuing violation, a breach in 2014 when there was not an election in 2014, which the 2013 resolution said there should be an election in 2014. There wasn't one then. And so in 2015, everybody should have been, all the LSB delegates
should have been elected. So for 1 year terms and some for 3 year terms, but that didn't happen.
Roll over time.
Janet, it's
time.
11:30.
Time.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Ben.
Okay.
All right. Next order of business, approval of the minutes. Okay. If no, there are no objections, we'll approve the minutes from the last LSB minutes to submit it. All right, minutes approved. Next order of business, meeting decorum motion.
Okay, just to make it easy for you to find this, we handed out a two-page sheet of motions. It has three motions, but the one, and it has blue on the top, so you can identify it easily. Now, the motion that we're taking up now is on meeting decorum. Shall I read it? Or, where is it? Okay. Everybody has
page two. Page two.
It's page two. A little bit complicated. There have been problems in our committees and in the LSB meetings also with questions about what the decorum should be for the meetings, what the structure should be. So I felt that we should put together a meeting decorum policy, and so this is what we're discussing at the moment. Just how people should conduct themselves at our meetings, and what the role of the chair is, and what the protocol is, and what the disciplinary actions are.
Yeah, I'll second it.
Do we have any discussion? I'm sorry?
Reading?
Can somebody read it? They don't have copies.
Oh, okay. I'll read the motion.
Sorry. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so it's named KKK Meeting Decorum Policy. The following rules and progressive discipline apply to KPFK local station board members and the public at LSB regular meetings, as well as LSB committee meetings. At a number one, at a meeting of the local station board, LSB members must wait to be recognized by the chair before speaking. Each speaker shall be allowed to speak for 90 seconds unless a different time limit is agreed upon. No one shall speak a second time unless anyone who hasn't spoken and wishes to speak has done so. No one shall be allowed to speak more than two times on any one agenda item. Point two, no LSB member or member of the public may physically assault or touch another person in an unwanted manner at any meeting. To do so will result in the chair asking the offending person to leave the meeting. Failing to leave may result in the offender losing all future speaking and attendance rights. Three, no LSB member or member of the public may speak without being recognized, interrupt another who has the floor, or otherwise disrupt a meeting by any verbal or physical action. The only exception is to make a point of order or other such point of privilege as allowed per Robert's Rules of Order, which can be done only by LSB members or members of LSB committees. An LSB member who makes a point of order may interrupt an LSB member who is speaking. See Robert's Rules of Order, Chapter 8, Point 23, Number 3, A Point of Order. Quote, is in order when another has the floor, even on interrupting a person speaking or reading a report, if the point genuinely requires attention at such a time. End quote. Personal verbal attacks on the character of another should also be considered disruptive and not tolerated. Less formality may be desired in some committees at the discretion of the chair and or the body. However, if discourtesy or disruption impede the work of the committee, more formal procedures should be reverted to, at least for the duration of that meeting. Point four. Upon a first minor offense, interrupting a speaker, for example, the chair would give the offender a warning. Upon a second offense, a second warning should be given. Upon a third offense in the same meeting, the chair may ask the body to consider depriving the offender of the right to be recognized for the remainder of the meeting. Such a request should be voted on immediately and would not be debatable. If the offender continues disruptive behavior, he or she will be asked to leave the assembly, and if he or she fails to do so, may be barred from future participation. 5. Any non-LSB member who has been reprimanded frequently for disrupting regular LSB meetings or LSB committee meetings should not be appointed to any LSB committee. 6. The attached zero tolerance violence specific policy passed in March of 2010 should be followed and adhered to. 7. Robert's Rules of Order, Chapter 20, Disciplinary Procedures should be referred to and takes precedence over this motion if anything herein stated is in contradictory to those rules. And I'm sorry, in contradiction to those rules. And that's the end of the motion.
Sweet second.
Now that it's been read, any discussion?
Well, it seems a little constrictive.
Mike, please.
Fernando.
Go ahead.
Is this motion a response to certain personnel that come to the LSB meetings and frequently asked provocative controversial questions or not?
No. It's just that I believe the purpose of this is so that we can facilitate effective meetings and that we can have some order and also some procedures in order for any one of us, whether it be an LSB member or the community, so that we can get some business done. I believe that's the spirit of this motion. I believe there's a hand at the side that I see.
Well, it seems a little constrictive, but overall, you know, I think it's a good idea, and I think it's a proper level of decorum to expect from all of us. But, you know, I just hope in applications that you give a little more leeway than, you know, being really draconian about it.
Dorothy and then Charles.
Oh,
it's really sad that we have to do this. I don't know that we have to, but sad that we're doing this. But I think that limiting anybody to only two speaking twice on any one motion, you won't be able to discuss anything. If someone brings something and they want to discuss it, if you have questions to ask that person, they answer the second question, they're not allowed to discuss it anymore. That's crazy.
How about three times?
Yeah. How about until the matter is handled?
I think, is it time, Mentor?
5 minutes.
It's time on this.
Can I respond to that?
Yes.
Okay, I believe that in response to both Steve and Dorothy's objections, which are interesting, the first thing is point number one applies just to LSB meetings. This is a very large assembly of people at our meetings, and I think it makes it very difficult for people to speak more than two times on any one agenda item, because if everyone were to speak two times for 90 seconds, well, 24 times 2 minutes would be over an hour just on one agenda item. So I think it makes sense to limit it. But there is no such limitation in our committees. And also, Steve, the committee protocol is less constrained. It's just if there's difficulty in the committee meetings, then we would revert to a more strict procedure.
Well, I mean, just to say, well, it just happened with Jan. She would not have been able to respond after the second question was asked.
That's correct.
Yes. So I would say at least the person presenting the issue would be allowed to speak to it until the questions are all answered.
I'm sorry, I don't have any more keeping stats, so bear with me. Was it Charles, and then I saw a hand over here?
Yeah.
And then Ken.
I was going to offer a friendly amendment to point number one, which would say, in effect, that No one would be allowed to speak more than two times on any one agenda item unless asked to respond, unless put another question asked to respond in response to another question.
Good.
Good idea.
Ken.
Just before he brings up that, you bring up a point that I think it's not stated as understood that if somebody's making a report, and it'd be two times that somebody could ask questions or comment on it. But if somebody's making a presentation, they're not going to be restricted to responding.
Well, that doesn't say that. In the way
I know, it doesn't.
So, I think Charles's amendment fixes that issue.
Could you say it?
Charles?
No one shall be allowed to speak more than two times on any one agenda item unless giving a report and responding to questions.
Yeah.
That means the presenter.
The presenter.
Right.
The presenter.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Second.
Does that work?
No.
I second that amendment.
You accepted that friendly amendment.
You accept the friendly amendment.
No, the amendment has to be voted on separately and has to be seconded.
All those in favor?
Well, but just for the secretary, can we get an exact statement?
Yeah.
We have it.
And
would you read it back to me?
Added to point one, it is,
okay,
unless giving a report, and asked to respond.
Or asked to respond.
Or asked to respond.
Yeah.
Charles, was that your?
That's fine.
Okay.
So that sentence will read, no one shall be allowed to speak more than two times on any one agenda item unless giving a report or asked to respond. Except the presenter.
Unless being the presenter of that
except
report.
Giving a report.
Giving a report.
Unless giving a report and
responding
to questions.
Or responding.
We got it?
No.
Mr. Secretary?
Okay.
And I think it was. Any objections to the amendment?
Okay.
I'm not sure. If you're saying that only the presenter can be asked to respond, I would
everyone else has to speak twice.
Or the responder.
Yes, I'm saying if someone who speaks is then asked to respond by somebody else in the body, I don't think the fact that they're not speaking should preclude them from answering the question.
That's what I understand.
Yeah, I think that's what we're understanding with
Charles. Yeah, that's my understanding of what Charles said.
Yes.
Would you read it back, Jamie, so we have clarity?
No one shall be allowed to speak more than two times on any one agenda item unless giving a report and or being asked to respond.
Okay, so we're good? Good.
Yeah.
Good
for now.
Okay, the motion is amended. No objections. Motion carries. All right, next order of business.
Well, I move to adopt the policy as amended.
Yeah, we already did.
We just amended it.
We passed the amendment.
We
adopted
it. Was to the original.
Did we adopt it?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Madam Chair, 10 minutes.
To the original.
Just for a point of clarity, so does that mean that this board now is adopting this meeting decorum policy and will operate under its guidelines?
Yes.
As amended.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next order of business. Where are we? General manager. Is Leslie general manager's report?
What's the item? What's the agenda?
whatever.
You're right.
Yeah.
Number two.
It starts with my personnel. It looks like this. It has a people in the front of it. Yeah. Okay.
Just to summarize very briefly here, we now have an interim chief engineer, Stuart Landau, who has come out of the gate running. He's been doing some amazing work up on Mount Wilson and with our translators. He's had the air conditioner up there repaired. He's working on stabilizing our signal, and I'm very impressed with Stu. Next on the list, we have rearranged the fund drive schedule somewhat, partly because, and I've worked very closely with staff on this, in fact this suggestion came from staff, that first of all we split the May fund drive into two parts so that we have time for the primary election coverage between mid-May and mid-June. Because that, of course, the election coverage is a lot of what we do extremely well. And we want to be able to focus on that. We're also having problems with the quiet drive. I'm going to be consulting with WPFW, who's had more success, and try to figure out what they're doing, get copies of some of their promos, and see what we can do here. But I have added, unfortunately, 21 days to the fund drive schedule in case the quiet drive doesn't kick off like we're hoping it will. We still need to make our budget, and we've added some time to do that. Again, as it says here, we will curtail the fund drives as the goals are reached. So, you know, if we're good on money, then we don't do this. But this is a plan to keep us functional to the end of the fiscal year. Let's see, what else is in here? I'll come back to finances in a moment. But flipping over to programming, I want to add that we also aired a town hall from the Better Watts Initiative, which was on environmental justice for the Watts community, and some a victory there for the residents of Jordan Downs. It was a fascinating listen, if you caught that. Boy, outreach, we've been going full steam. We have spent the whole month preparing for this past week when we've had the McChesney Nichols event in this space, when we had Amy Goodman on Thursday night at Emmanuel Presbyterian Church, and yesterday at the community town hall where we had a couple hundred people. All of our volunteers have been working like gangbusters to get these done, and I want to thank all of them. I also want to thank our staff, paid and unpaid, who have participated in these events, helped with these events, gone above and beyond their job duties. And I want to thank those members of the LSB, and there are some here, who absolutely helped with these events, were part of these events, and helped make them happen. We couldn't have done it without everybody jumping on this particular month to do some volunteer work at KPFK. I appreciate all of you. Thank you very much. As you can see, our social media is starting to take off. We've expanded our social media a little bit. We have Google Analytics there for you. I think the jump in the past month on the Google Analytics is a bit of an aberration because we got tremendous feedback to our coverage on Facebook. Our Facebook figures are a little bit off. We've got tremendous coverage over our postings around the anti-Klan ralliers being beaten down in Anaheim and on the Arizona election, thanks to our news department on Facebook. And I want to compliment our news department for being on top of our social media all the time. They're really good. Our unpaid staff are picking up their game in social media, too, and that's starting to work for us. Let's see, a few things here regarding finances. We have this month discussed with and got approval from the National Office to delay their April payment so that we can start our fund drive on May 3rd as scheduled rather than an early fund drive. We have built that money into the upcoming fund drive, so they will be paid in May for both April and May. That's part of the plan there.